Hello and welcome to the Influencer Effect. I have a very special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Marianne Nefsu.
All right. So who are you? What do you post about? How would people know you? What platforms are you on?
I'm a TikTok creator. Started TikTok about 5 years ago. It was like around 2019. And I typically cover TV, film, and pop culture.
Yeah, we are in a similar niche, which is how we kind of got connected in the first place. But you are one of the OGs. Like, you've been here from the beginning. You started in 2019. Like, I don't even know if I had TikTok downloaded on my phone in 2019. What was it like? Like, you're being an OG TikToker to now, like, how have things changed?
It's changed big time. When I first started on the app, it was mostly kids on there who loved horror stories, and that's all they wanted to hear from me. So it was either like a bunch of TikTokers dancing to trending songs, or the others like me just yapping away, like covering news or true crime or scary stories.
So did you start kind of in the true crime field and then moved over to more pop culture and mainstream movies?
It was more like paranormal, creepy stories, and then it went into true crime, and then I really got heavy into TV and film, and pop culture was thrown in there.
That's awesome. And you are killing it on TikTok, even 5 years later. Like, you have such a loyal following, fan base. What was building that following like starting in 2019 to now?
In 2019, it was actually a lot easier. I think because the majority of the app were dancers. So anybody who was doing anything but dancing were popping off pretty quickly because it was different.
That's so interesting. A lot of people I talk to say that as well. Like, a lot of people who I've talked to who have like millions of followers have been like, well, back in the day, it was so much easier to gain a following because your videos were pushed out more, not as many people were posting. And I'm like, if only I knew back in the day to start posting. But that's awesome that you've been able to maintain this following throughout the, I keep saying 5 years, 6 years since 2019. How do you think you've been able to maintain this following and continue to grow from then to now?
I think it was just trying to see what my audience wanted more of and kind of feeling them out in the comments section, just trying to figure out like what they engage more with, what they don't really engage with, like what they want to hear more about. Some will literally just tell like they'll tell you in a video comment, like, can you talk about this case that's happening? Or can you talk about Blake Lively? Or can you, and then you just have to listen to them and do it.
Yeah, no, honestly, the comment section is like the best way to find inspiration, because I'll even get like DMs of people being like, did you hear about this person? Did you hear about that person? I'm like, no, I didn't, but thank you. Now I'm going to make a video about it. Like, definitely listen to the people following you, because they're following you for a reason. They like the way that you report, the style that you tell stories, because like what we do is storytelling, like reporting on like news or reality TV or whatever it may be. Like, it's definitely like telling a story, and the reason that like someone like you has such a big following is because you're so good at keeping people captivated the entire time while you're telling the story. So you said you started back in 2019. Do you remember your first viral video?
I don't remember my first viral video. I mean, it was just easy to go viral back then. So I don't know what it was, but I know it was something scary.
Something scary, like a scary story.
Which is like paranormal, probably something about the Appalachian Mountains, or just, you know, something you would tell your friends back in the day around a campfire kind of thing.
Was there like a moment for you that you were like, oh, I made it, like, or even like, oh, this is like a career, like I'm successful on this app? Like, what was that moment like for you?
I think like as soon as you hit that first 1 million, you like, it's like, oh my gosh, hold on, maybe I am good at this, maybe I should keep going and see where this goes, you know? And then you kind of get really motivated after that, and then you get verified, and then it just, the brand deals start rolling in. And then like when you start looking at your account at that point, you're like, we could turn this into a full-time career. Like, this is going to be it.
Yeah, no. And that's so exciting. I don't feel like I've actually talked about this on my podcast yet, but I feel like a lot of people will find this very interesting. What is the process like for getting verified, like to have that little blue check mark next to your name?
So we can't really talk too much about it. It's confidential, but TikTok does reach out to you and they ask you if you want to become verified. And if you do, you do have to submit private information. like personal information.
Gotcha. Yeah. I also know that there's like a lot of scammers out there who will send you like TikTok@gmail.com. Please like fill out this form and give us your social security and like we'll verify you. Please, if there's any content creators out there, do not fall for that because.
Yes. And another thing I want to add, this was back in 2020 when I got verified like that. There's a new verification process now in 2025. You have to actually go into the app and then submit verification through the settings or something like that.
Interesting. I know for Meta.
We did not have that.
No. I think there's different like qualifications for each platform. Like I know for like Meta, at least there's like some that you can like pay for it. Like you can pay for your verification just so you like show up more on people's feed and stuff. That's not an option for TikTok. So like also again, don't fall for that. And then also on other apps, it's like you have to have a certain amount of articles written about you. You have to be like in the news. Like it's like there's all sorts of different like verifications that you need in order to get that verified check mark. So I think that's interesting. And I think that's a lot of people strive for that. I personally am not verified on TikTok. I would love to be one day, but I also have been able to find success on TikTok without being verified. So like, don't let that hold you back if there's anyone out there.
100%. Yeah. I was successful before the verification too.
Exactly. Yeah. Something that's so great about TikTok is that once you hit that 10,000 follower mark, you can immediately start making money. Whereas other apps, it's like, oh, you have to like be selected or like be part of a special program, which like if you do work hard and put in the work, you will probably eventually get to be in those programs. But from what I found, TikTok pays you well. And there it's just like once you hit that threshold, get I think it's like 100,000 views a month. And if you have 10,000 followers, you're probably going to be getting 100,000 views a month. Then you can start getting paid in the creator program, which is really cool. So you were on TikTok before the creator program and for the original creator program. What has that like switch been like? Because I have only ever been in the creator beta program, which is kind of what it is right now, where it's like you can basically, for anyone out there who doesn't know, you get paid only on videos that are over a minute long. And then you get a certain amount of money. It's usually like 10 cents to $1.50, depending on like what your RPM is, which is like how much money you get paid per 1,000 views. So let's say you have a video that gets 1,000,000 views and you make your RPM is $1. You would make $1,000 because you get paid for the 1,000 views. What have the different programs been like on TikTok? I'm very curious.
Program that's out there now is the best one that's ever been out there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Because it used to be you were paid for any video, but you were paid a lot less, right?
It was. Yeah, it was like cents.
Yeah.
It was low cents. And then it was like only if like the views hit a certain mark and whatever.
Yeah. That's really cool. You've like been through all of that. You said you started having brand deals roll in when you like hit that 1,000,000 followers. When did you start seeing success with working with brands? Like at what threshold? Like when you reached a certain point, or was it when you started getting a certain amount of views? Like what was that process like?
I saw them rolling in a lot quickly when I was more niche specific. That's when I realized TikTok is a super niche specific app for a reason, and brands love that too.
100%. And I find that too. Like if I try to post something slightly out of my niche, it's not going to perform well at all. And I'll even try to relate it back to my niche, and they're like, no, stick to the niche, honestly.
They kind of want, like, if once they see that you're good at talking about a certain subject or a topic or anything, they want you to do more of that. They want you to push more of that out.
No, and yeah, that's something that I've struggled with too. Like, because I kind of started this wanting to be like a lifestyle creator. I was like, I wasn't sure. And then funnily enough, I had a video that I posted just like fangirling about Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl a year ago that went viral. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I didn't think anyone would care what I thought about that. So then I just slowly started incorporating pop culture into my content. And I gained like 100,000 followers in probably the span of 6 months. So I was like, I guess this is my niche now, which I love. Like, it makes sense for me. Like, anyone who knows me in real life is like, yeah, no, that makes sense. You love to gossip. You watch all the TV shows. watch all the movies, you know, like follow all the celebrity news. Like it completely makes sense for me. But what advice would you have for people out there who are like trying to find their niche?
I know it could be so confusing. I've jumped around so many times myself. Like I'm like, are people getting bored of this topic? Should I switch it up a little? And I still continue to do that till now. I'll go from talking about a movie to talking about, pop culture news the next day. So it's very different. And it's honestly what you're truly passionate about and what your audience loves to hear.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say like, you can tell when you're being fake. Like if you're like, okay, I want my niche to be something specific, but you don't actually care about it. Like, let's say I was like, okay, like I want my niche to be like sports or whatever. Like I'm trying to pick something that I'm like not super passionate about. And I start talking about it, people would be able to tell, because like what makes your videos go viral is the little spins that you put on it that make it unique. Because if you're just saying straight up what's happening, anyone can do that. You can read an article about that. But like people want to hear your spin on the entire situation. So it's definitely, it's people can tell if you're being inauthentic. So that's why it's so important to pick a niche that like really resonates with you as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So are you a full-time content creator? Or do you do other work as well?
I am. I became full-time 3 years ago.
That's awesome. What has that process been like? And what was it like just fully transitioning into a full-time content creator?
It was pretty good. I was a stay-at-home mom before all of this. So I was bored and I wanted to do something. And I saw the power of TikTok and what it could do for me. Like I said, I wasn't expecting it at all. So when I noticed what it could become, I started doing a lot of research into it and all of that. I decided to go full time and it's been the best experience of my life.
That's awesome. What does like a day in the life look like for you as a full time content creator?
So I like to plan my content in the morning after I drop off my kids at school. I sit for like a good hour, hour and a half. I'll scroll on my For You page to see what are the trending topics in the movie industry, like in the film industry and in pop culture. Or both, and I'll write them down. My journal is always in front of me. I'll write down what's trending, and I'll also write down what I kind of want to talk about, my like what I'm interested in that day. And then that kind of sets me up for the rest of the week. But I'll do that every morning in case I want to change the topic up.
No, that's super smart. And I think like everyone's notes app or like journal or whatever it may be is like their best friend. If they're a content creator, like for me, I have like crazy notes in my notes app that definitely make no sense to anyone else. But like I'll be like grocery shopping and I'll be like, I have an idea for like a hook for something. I'm like, let me write it down. Like,
yeah, otherwise you will forget. Like 100%. There's so much going on up there, so like I have to write it down right away, you know?
Yeah, even if I like save a video for later that I saw, like, oh well, let me do research on this topic, or like if it's a celebrity interview or something, I'll forget. Like I need to write it down. I'm the same way.
100%. And even writing it down kind of just like it organizes your day for you if you're making content that day. I try to thrive for making content at least 4 to 5 times a week. And that could be tricky if you don't already have content planned.
Yeah. And the algorithm definitely favors people who post more frequently, which is like, it's like a blessing and a curse, because like, I'm also working for myself right now. It was kind of not an option for me at first. I was laid off from my job last year. So I started making money and I was like, all right, like, let's see what happens. I basically gave myself the summer last year to be like, okay, if I make a significant amount of money or enough money to, you know, basically make a living over the summer, then I'll keep at it. If not, got to find another job. And I think that really like just put fire in me and like put something in me. And I really worked hard and was able to build something that's sustainable as a career, which is just so exciting. And like being 25 and working for myself is something I never thought was going to be possible. But thanks to social media, it is. But it also means no vacation days. Like if I don't work one day, I'm not getting paid, like stuff like that.
Yeah, and sometimes even when you're on vacation, you'll catch yourself working those days too.
Oh, I worked through, my boyfriend and I went to Europe last summer. I don't worry, I very much enjoyed my vacation. But like when we were resting at the hotel room, I wasn't resting at the hotel room.
Yeah, you were probably looking things up. Yeah,
exactly. Which I don't mind. I'm someone, I'm like, at least I'm like still young. Like, I'm like, I'll sleep when I'm older, you know, like, I'm like, whatever. Like, I also like have the capacity to do it, which I'm very grateful for. But sometimes, like, or even I was at Disney and like I literally filmed a video sitting in the monorail, like waiting area to go to Disney because I was like, oh, breaking news.
I love it. I love that. And those always end up being the best videos too. Like those pop off, like they go. It's so funny, the unplanned.
They do well.
They do, like surprisingly. It's so funny. But you know what it is too? I'm still kind of in disbelief that this is even a career. So it still doesn't feel like a career to me.
No, 100%. Like I feel like, and my boyfriend will catch me doing this because he'll be like, he's so, so supportive. Like literally couldn't ask for a better partner. And he works in healthcare. Like it's so different what we do. Like he's literally changing people's lives. And I'm like, you know, talking to my phone. So I do have a bit of imposter syndrome when it comes to like stuff like that. I'm just kind of like, what I'm doing is not important. Like some days I'm like, I like feel like I like my job isn't a real job, or like people perceive my job is not a real job. And I get kind of like self-conscious about it. And my boyfriend will like catch me doing that and be like, stop. What you're doing is a real job. You're making money for yourself. You're working for yourself. You're working more hours than you ever have. Like, don't let yourself. Yeah.
We're entrepreneurs at the end of the day. This is our own business. So
exactly.
We have to do whatever it takes to keep building it, even though it seems like it's just social media and that's what we were always taught, because I don't think anybody saw this happening for the future back in the day when we were in school. You know what I mean? So it's very new still to a lot of people, to a lot of generations.
Yeah. What do you say to people who like kind of question like what you're doing, or like I'm sure all the great people in your life don't question it, but like if there's ever been anyone who's been like, oh, that's interesting. Like, is that a real job? Like, what is your response to people who say stuff like that?
That would happen a lot in the beginning. So when I first started, they had, especially when TikTok was new, like they had no idea how I could make money doing this. They did one, like you could just feel that they didn't believe me. You know what I mean? When I would talk about it. So it got to a point where I stopped talking about it with those that were close to me. And I was just doing me, and I was just pushing content out the way I would. But at this point, when they can actually see the changes that it's been making to me and my family, they do ask the questions. And now they're really trying to understand how they can possibly even make this a living for themselves.
Yeah, I always say like, people make fun of you until you're successful. And then when you're successful, they start knocking at the door.
A lot of people, like, they won't believe you in the beginning, especially if they're just not used to it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Luckily, like, my close family and friends have always been supportive. Like, even my grandparents are, like, want to listen to my podcast and, like, will, like, ask me so many questions. When the TikTok ban stuff was happening, they were like, I read this in the news. I think everything's going to be okay. I'm like, thank you so
much. That was my brother and sister, my youngs, the youngest. They were always texting us in the group chat, like, Mira, what's happening now? Like, is it gonna get banned or not? I'm like, please, it's stressing me out. I'm just posting. I don't know.
I'm like, no, I'm like
not going nowhere.
I'm like, it better not.
Yeah. Even the day that they actually banned it, I was like in denial. I'm like, there's no way it actually happened.
My boyfriend took me on a walk. Luckily, it was like a couple hours that I was actually awake for when it was
banned. I love that for you.
He was like, let's just go get a drink. Like, it's going to be okay.
That's probably what you needed during that time.
Oh my God. I was like, this is like, and I'm so new to it, and I'm like so happy doing what I'm doing. Like, I have never felt so fulfilled in a job. I'm sure you can relate to that. And it's just so lovely that this is my career and I love it. And all I hear is my friends complaining about their jobs. And I'm like, I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
And I was like, please, like, let this happen for me. Like, let this like continue. But are you like kind of like, speaking of the TikTok ban, which hopefully, knock on wood, we're all.
I think we're good.
But, you know, you still never know. But have you been able to build followings on other apps? And what has that been like? I like know you have a big following on Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when the TikTok ban first started popping up into articles, you know, the little fear mongering that was going on around that, like this was like a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, I jumped on YouTube. I went straight to YouTube. YouTube Shorts had just released, and they were trying to grab all the TikTokers because of that. They're like, this is perfect timing for us, and it worked. So YouTube, I have probably 350,000 subscribers right now. Yeah, so it grew pretty quickly. I just posted my TikToks on there, and it worked. And then Instagram is the second one, and Snapchat Spotlight.
Ooh.
That's my secret one.
Is that, are you in the special Snapchat Spotlight program, or do you just like upload regularly on Snapchat?
So when the first Spotlight program originally happened, that was about around the same time, like 3 years ago, they were paying so much money for a Spotlight. Like I'm talking about $10,000 for one viral Spotlight. So it was amazing. It worked out great. And then they ended it out of nowhere. And now I've been trying to fight to get into the new eligibility. There's one that just started February 1st. I'm not in it yet. I've hit all of the eligibility requirements. I'm waiting for the email.
Do you just upload your TikToks on Snapchat? Like, what is that process like?
Yeah, they changed the terms. So they want over 1 minute long videos now too. So it kind of works out.
Yeah.
So I just post the same TikTok videos up on Spotlight.
And you post them in the Spotlight, because I've also seen people say also to post them to your story as well. Do you do that or just straight to Spotlight? You do both.
Yeah, you could do that too, because there's another, I forgot what it's called, but it's an ad revenue program for stories too. I'm not in that.
Yeah, no, Snapchat is like a whole different beast on its own, but I know people who make so much money on Snapchat. Like it's crazy. Like you said, especially in that first program, like it's kind of the hidden gem.
Yeah, that was insane. And that was when TikTok had the old creator program still. So we weren't getting paid that much on TikTok unless you picked up a brand deal. So getting that from Snapchat, that's like when I really went full time with Snapchat too.
That's awesome. I know there's so many avenues, and I'm like, I'm new to this, I think, relatively. Like I didn't start really making money until last February, like February of 2024. So like, I'm still kind of like a new fish in the pond, but I'm still like learning. Like I learned so much from these podcasts as much as like other people who listen do, because I'm like, okay, where else can I be monetizing and stuff? Speaking of like brand deals and stuff, you said you saw a lot coming in when you first started posting and when you hit that million followers. Do you work with a management team?
Mm-hmm. I signed to an agent 3 years ago, and I've been with them ever since, and they've been bringing in all movie and show deals for me.
That's awesome. What is that process like that behind the scenes process for people who don't know?
It's really cool because I have no idea how to negotiate a deal for the life of me. And reading contracts, like these contracts could be 5 to 6 pages long. I'm lost after the first paragraph, and it's so important to have somebody read these contracts because there's been brands that we've had to say no to because of how horrible the contracts were.
Yeah. And I also agree with that. I started working with management around October of last year, I want to say. So I was having, it's still like kind of new, but I was getting a lot of inbound, but I was either getting lowballed or it was a scam. Like working with management, they know exactly what to look out for and exactly what's a red flag, where I'm just like, oh, you want to give me $100 for this? Why not? It's $100. And then you're like, oh no, like I probably should have gotten paid a lot more for that. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah. Negotiating, they're so good at it. They know what other talent in their rosters they're getting paid. So they kind of have an idea of what to pitch, you know? And then another amazing thing that they do, which I never did before them, was the whole cross post, like where they'll say, like, if you pay an extra couple thousand, then she'll post on Instagram too for you, or she'll post on YouTube for you too. And this is how many followers she has over there. And a lot of them agree.
Yeah. I think a lot of people also don't realize, like, if they're saying post on Instagram and TikTok, you should be getting paid more for that.
Yeah. I never knew that until I signed with them.
No, it's such a learning experience. And like, for the most part, the creator community has been so warm and welcoming and like open to talking about like stuff that people in other businesses don't usually talk about, like the like nitty gritty of the money and brand, like, or brand deals aren't usually in other businesses, but like the nitty gritty of like how much you should be getting paid and like how much this asset should cost and like even like how much like exclusivity should cost and like stuff like that. Cause like brands will be like, okay, we'll work with you, but then you can't work with brands similar to us for 30 days after.
Yeah, we had an issue like that. They had to go back and they had to change it from 1 month to 1 week instead, because otherwise, like, there you can't pick up a deal for a whole month, like another one.
Yeah, or at least like one that's like similar. And like you said, like in your niche, you're getting like the movie and TV show brand deals. So they all are probably going to be like grouped in the same category, which is like difficult. And like some brands will try to get like 90-day exclusivity or like 6 months exclusivity, which is just like it's you have to be a creator. Being a creator, you have to really advocate for yourself and make sure you're not being taken advantage of, which is like why the management team is so helpful.
100%. And like I mentioned earlier, it's you're running your own business, so you still have to stay on top of management too. You got to make sure deals are getting paid, have everything organized in a spreadsheet. Like this deal was supposed to pay this week. Where is it? Like what's going on with it? You know, and just stay on the whole business back, and then you'll be able to do it full time.
Yes, no, and there's so much to keep track of, and like I like it's like yes, like when you have management, it does help a lot, but you like you said, you still have to advocate for yourself. You are your own business. How so you also have had a lot of experiences, I'm sure, going to like influencer events or like meeting and talking to other influencers in the space. What has been like the craziest or just like best, worst, whatever you want to share experience, going to a brand event or meeting another influencer?
Probably the most recent one they just sent us on. TikTok sent us to Hollywood, and we were all there for a TV and film workshop all morning. And then in the afternoon to evening, we got to spend the day at Universal Studios as a VIP. So we took like the VIP tour with them. They taught us how they make films, the place, the settings that they had laid out for films and all of that, showed us the costume design rooms, and then we were able to ride the rides after. It was an amazing experience.
That is so amazing. That sounds so awesome and so fun. And I think a lot of people don't realize going into content creation how many doors it can open and how many experiences you can like get when you post little videos online. It can turn into something so crazy and so special. Have you met like, oh, I'm sure at that event you met other influencers, but do you have any like cool experiences meeting influencers who you like kind of followed online and then getting to talk to them in person?
Yeah, it was so funny because when we like saw each other, like this happened to probably me and five other influencers. We weren't allowed to talk about the event beforehand, so it was like extremely confidential. So we didn't know who was going. So when we like saw each other in person and we recognized each other from TikTok, just talking and commenting on each other's stuff, we ran to each other. We couldn't believe it.
That's so
It
awesome.
was very like heartwarming. This the TikTok community is just so warm and they're so helpful, and it's like a totally different environment compared to any other social media app out there.
I completely agree with that. And it's totally the opposite of what I was expecting going into the field. I thought a lot of people were going to be gatekeeping or like not want to
Me
help
too.
you. Like the amount of people who we've even just like agreed to do this podcast when like they like you, like any, like so many people I've interviewed, like you didn't have to do this, like, but you did. And it's so nice and generous and kind. And like, that's just the vibe that I've gotten, specifically also from like the TV and film content creators. Like, so nice. And
Yeah, I don't know if it's just this niche. That was my first kind of influencer trip that I've ever been on with TikTok. So I don't know if it's the niche that made everybody so friendly. I don't know what it was, you know, but or if it's just TikTok.
it's just TikTok. Yeah, I don't know, but everyone I've talked to has just been so nice and kind. And like, I live in Boston, so I'm not really near anyone or like a lot of people who, you know, are in the space. Like a lot of people are in LA or New York, but I would love to like eventually meet people in person, which hopefully will happen at some point, manifesting that.
It will. It will.
So I always kind of wrap up with the same question. We've kind of covered this throughout, but I just as like a straight answer, what advice do you have for people who want to go into content creation, but just like are afraid to post or just like don't know where to start?
They cannot listen to their inner thoughts. We're going to be so critical against ourselves, and we're like, you know, we're always bullying ourselves. So don't listen to your inner thoughts if they're negative. Do what makes you happy and just post.
That's such great advice. I think that's something that held me back for a while. And like, sometimes I like kick myself. I'm like, I could be so much more like further in the game if I had started when I wanted to, but I waited so long. Like I was still in college and I wanted to start posting and like, I was just afraid what people would think, but like, honestly, who cares? Like,
100%.
Like I know so many people who are now coming to me being like, how do you do it? Like, how do you do this full time? Like, how can I do it full time? Like, just like your real friends will support you from the start. Like one of my best friends, works as a nurse, and she like shows all her nursing friends my videos and like bragging about me. I'm like, you're the sweetest. Like, those are the people you want in your life, like the good people who have been supporting you from the beginning. And yeah, I think that's just great advice. Like, you got to ignore your inner thoughts, and you also got to ignore the people on the outside who aren't supportive because they're not your real friends anyway. So,
for sure. And I tell everybody too, we can have a whole group of friends and they never have to comment on any of my videos ever, because my videos aren't for my friends or family members. They're for my audience, and they're for the audience who actually enjoy watching topics about movies and film. We might have friends that don't enjoy that kind of stuff. They like beauty, they're into makeup or hair or whatever, and that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It shouldn't hold back a creator at all.
Totally. Yeah. Do whatever niche you feel the most passionate about. Like, that's where you should be. Don't do whatever niche you think is the most popular at the time. For sure. I would love for you to like share where people can find you, like plug all of your socials. Where should people follow you?
Sure. So everybody could follow me at Marianne Nefsu. It's just my first and last name. And that's the same around every single social media. So Marianne Nefsu.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so much fun.
It was so fun. Thank you so much for having me.